Hello, everyone. Before we get into today's message, I want to come and share my heart with you on a couple of matters that we have going on here at the Outlet Community Church. The first one is we are so proud of every person who showed up on yesterday to be a part of our community cleanup here in the Summer Hill neighborhood in Atlanta, Georgia. From the bottom of our heart, thank you so much. Not only to those who came out physically to help us to clean up, but for those who financially supported our ministry to enable us to have the supplies to do the cleanup. It takes everyone coming together to make a difference, and that you're doing. Our heart for our church in the neighborhoods that we serve is to say that we're not interested only in having church, but first and foremost, we're interested in being the church, and that you all are. So thank you so much. Coming up in the next couple of weeks, we're gonna be getting ready for our back to school outreach. Can you believe it? We're talking about going back to school already. And the Outlet Community Church is committed to supporting our families and committing to supporting students so they can get the right start toward their school year this year. And so there'll be more information that will be coming to you all in the coming weeks. So right now, just begin to pray and just see what the Lord would have you to do concerning assisting us in being a blessing to students as they start a new school year. Well, today we have a special treat for you. We're concluding our series on My Father's Business, where we were talking about stewardship. And I have the great honor and privilege to sit down with Dana Cook, who is the lead attorney of the Dana Thomas Law Firm. And one thing about Dana is that I've had an opportunity to get to know her over the last couple of years. And what I appreciate most about her is that she's humble, she's diligent, and the woman knows what she's talking about. She is a gift to not only the Outlet community, but she is a gift to the world and those in which she serves. And I invited Dana to share with us today just some principles that we could use to help us to maximize the potential and to maximize the gifting that God has called each of us to walk in and to live in. What you'll hear about Dana's story is that she started her law firm from scratch. She didn't come out of college and just go work for a major law firm, which is nothing wrong with that. But I want you to pay attention to the faith, to the boldness, and to the proof of what happens when you have faith in God and you trust Him with all of your decisions. So Outlet Community, let's welcome Dana Cook. Hello and welcome to a podcast exclusive here at the Outlet Community. I'm Vince Thomas, lead pastor of the Outlet Community Church. And I have the awesome privilege today of being able to sit down with Dana Cook, ESQ, LMNOP, whatever letters that she has as well. But I am so honored to be able to sit down with Dana today. I want you all to be able to take notes, be able to listen with your hearts, make sure that you bookmark, you save just our conversation, because I just believe that the nuggets that will be shared through our time today will truly revolutionize your life. So Dana, hey.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited. This is going to be a dynamic conversation, and just things that have just been within me that, you know, it's not fit for every platform, but it is certainly fit for this one. So I'm excited.
Well, I'm excited to hear that, because you have been on some really dynamic platforms, some dynamic stages. I'm going to let one cat out the bag. I believe, if, you know, my memory serves me right, I was reading that one of the books that you've written is like a required textbook at Howard University. Is that?
Yes, that is true at Howard University and at Strayer University, actually, as well, for Strayer's MBA program in digital entrepreneurship. So, wow. And you know what? It came about so crazy, because I wrote that book a year after I graduated law school, and everyone at the time was telling me, "What are you doing writing a book? You know, you're a new lawyer, and don't you need to do this first? And don't you need to do that first?" But, you know, my instruction from God was so clear. And sometimes you have to ignore the noise, right? And, you know, God knew that a path for me. And, you know, 3 or 4 years later, that book got picked up by 2 universities.
You know, you've already started dropping dimes, and like we're just doing the introduction. So I told y'all this was gonna be a special time today. So Dana, tell me, like, was being an attorney something that you always had in your heart to do, or, you know, as you went through middle, high school, you began to hone in on it? What was that pivotal moment for you where you were like, you know what, this is the path that I want to take?
Sure. So I started hearing about being an attorney when I was very young. I'd say maybe somewhere between 5 and 6. And I think it was because of my personality. So it would be from my family or friends of family, and they would say, Dana, you should be a lawyer. You're always trying to make a deal with someone, or you're always trying to be tricky in some way, you know? And so they attributed that to being, you know, a lawyer. And at the time, I didn't know what a lawyer really did, but I just remembered hearing that all the time based on my personality, always trying to get what I wanted, trying to make deals. And so when I, obviously, as I got older, I learned what it was. But I took my first legal course my last year of high school, and that was my first real exposure to what business law, being a lawyer, was. And I really liked it. I passed that class with flying colors. I developed a really good relationship with my teacher at the time, who was just really impressed. And so that showed me, like, maybe I do have something here. And so actually at the time, I was a professional dancer when I was younger. And when I kind of didn't want to be in entertainment anymore, and I learned that I really liked the law from that class, and I said, well, how can I merge my love for entertainment and being, but I didn't want to perform, and law? And that's when I learned about entertainment law. So actually, wow. Going into college from high school, I said, that's it, I'm going to be an entertainment lawyer. And I was focused from there. So it wasn't until law school where I learned about entrepreneurship law. But yeah, at the time, I pretty much always thought I was going to be a lawyer. I would switch here and there, be a teacher, be something else, but it always came back to law.
Ironically, all of those things that you mentioned have really come into play in what you're doing now. It's amazing how our gifting leads us to our calling, but our gifting doesn't always equate to what our calling ultimately will be. So that's unique. Now, when you got to college, when you were going in for the particular track of becoming an attorney, were your eyes set on initially being a part of a firm or being a part of a practice? Just how did that process go?
Right. So I didn't have too much information on the different paths of being a lawyer when you're going into law school. Honestly, going into law school, the only thing that you're focused on is the LSAT, right? It's the law school admissions test, right? By the way, which I did horribly on, which is a story in itself, because even though I did really bad on that, and I took it the second time, and I think I got worse, I still got into one of the best schools in Georgia, right? And so that is a whole nother story, but it's a matter of faith. And, you know, there's nothing that can take you away from what you're meant to be. So even though at that time, I was really down about that score, but, you know, God made a way, and I actually got my acceptance within 2 days of applying with a horrible LSAT score. So just be faithful. If something is meant for you, it will be for you. Don't let anything, you know, deter you from that path. So going into law school, no, I didn't have an idea of whether I wanted to work for someone. I certainly had no thoughts about working for myself at that time. But when I got to law school, everyone's pretty much doing the same thing. Like, school was like an assembly line. They were pushing you into working for a big firm, big firm, big firm, because that would give good ratings for the law school, right? In terms of how much you make and, you know, who's going to these big firms. And so at first I was assimilating. I was doing what they were telling me to do, even though I'm like, I really didn't want to do that. I could feel it. But because there's a lot of pressure in law school to fit in, to do things the right way, I was on that path to working at a big firm. And a part of the path to working at a big firm is boosting up your resume. So in an effort to boost my resume, I started to reach out to lawyers to get an internship so that my resume could be more attractive for big law firms. It just turns out that all of the internships that I got happened to be for solo practitioners, so attorneys that work for themselves. So that's how I got exposed to, wow, you can have your own law firm and, you know, have flexibility and wear whatever you want and be happy in your career and have clients that love you. And so that was my first introduction to owning your own practice. The first lawyer that I worked for, she started her law firm right out of law school, not because she wanted to, though, but because she couldn't find a job anywhere else. So she was forced into it. And I have never up to now met anyone outside of the students that I teach that started their own law firm out of their own will. Like, they wanted to. It happened to be because the market was bad. They couldn't get a job. And once I started to get exposed to solo entrepreneurship, how much flexibility they had, the freedom, it was just a different environment than the strict big firm life. Then I decided after my first year of law school, and there's 3 years in law school, that I was going to start my own firm. And Vince, let me tell you how many people told me I was crazy. A lot of people.
I can only imagine, because, you know, as we've already just heard you share, it's like getting into law school, there was just favor. And there was a level, I believe, of persistence on your part, because if you've taken the premier test and, you know, you've done not so great on the first time and then worse on the second time, I'm sure that there was an element of discouragement that tried to set in.
This is from a person who's got straight A's her whole life. You know, I think I might have got 5 years of college ever from all 4 years. And then you take the LSAT thinking you're wonderful. And it's like, what? I don't understand this. You know, but yeah, I got introduced to starting your own law firm. And then after my first year, I decided that's what I was going to do. I shared it with some friends and some family members, and, you know, they love me, of course, and they want the best, but I knew that there was something special about that for me, you know, and sometimes you have to ignore the noise in order to follow that path.
I believe when you have a vision from God, it's like he won't let you sleep, especially if you're sensitive to him. You can try to run. You could try to, you know, conjure up something different. You could try to present him a host of different options, but there's this burning inside of you. And those closest to you, as you said, they love you. So they weren't maliciously trying to deter you from what God had put in your heart. But sometimes I don't think people can see beyond their capacity of progression. And you've got to know that this burning, it's almost like this burning desire mixed with peace. So it's like this peaceful burning, almost pulling you toward where you are, where you're like, you know, I respectfully have to disagree, but I'm going to follow what God has put in my heart to do.
Absolutely. I just knew that. One, I didn't want to have a life that I wasn't happy with. I knew that God wanted me to be happy. And I'd worked so hard through college, through law school, that why would I start a career that I knew I wasn't going to be happy in? And then again, that burning desire, it was something about it. I just felt like it was for me, you know, and despite not having the support from others, it didn't discourage me. So God just put something in me that just gave me that confidence, because everyone would ask, well, how are you going to do that? Well, what about your experience? What about money? You don't have any money. What about this? What? It was always, what about this? What about that? And honestly, I didn't have the answers to what all the what about this is and what about that, but I knew who I was. And I knew that no matter what, I wasn't going to stop. You know, the only way that you can fail is if you quit. And I wasn't going to quit. And I felt like there was something just rooted in me that it did give me peace, like you said. The fear actually wasn't starting my own firm. The fear was living a life that I hated. So that would push me towards my goal and my dream even more, you know? So, but yeah, there's definitely a level of obsession that came with it, in terms, and not just obsession of trying to learn about it, but obsession of just trying to be a better person all around. So I'm just ready for this big, you know, challenge or task that I have.
So let's kind of talk about the end from the beginning, and then work our way back from the beginning all the way to current date. So right now, if you all are looking at the screen, or if you're watching this on video, I already peeped behind Dana, the fruit of this decision to follow what she believed God put in her heart. So we see the fruit. But before the fruit showed up, kind of talk to me and talk to us, like share with us what faith meant to you. What did it mean to really start from scratch in a field where the popular thing, or the more safe, as it were, thing to do would be to sit up under something that's experienced, something that's established. You know, what was faith like for you to start from scratch in a field where, you know, to be on your own, although high reward, is at the same time high risk?
Faith is the most important part of this formula. One of the things that I do is I have an online school where I now teach new lawyers how to start their own law firm. I could teach all the tasks and the tools and the strategies and the checklists and the this and the that and tell them everything how I run my firm. But if you don't have that piece of faith and that relationship with God, I can't guarantee that that's going to work. Because for me, a huge part of it is that I changed from the inside. Like, I am from Brooklyn, New York. You know, we used to run outside and play in the sprinklers and all that and tell people off, that whole thing, right? When I was growing up, God changed me so, so much, and so much for the better. And it really comes from the little things, you know, having faith in the little things is like, oh my God, I trusted God and that worked out. And then again, I trusted God and that worked out. And once you see that every time you trust God, it works out, it's like, shoot, I'm going to start this business. I'm going to start that business, you know, and with the bigger things. And I do want to share a story, because I have so many stories of just these supernatural things that is only God. But these are the things that helped me to help to strengthen my faith, because as we learn, faith is a muscle. You have to work it out in order for it to be really strong. And I'm at the point right now, like, I really don't believe there's nothing that I can't do, because God is just, he's a huge part of everything. And I just trust him. So, story, right? I was in law school, and it was my second year of law school. And I applied for an internship, a really prestigious internship with the American Bar Association. I was going to get to work as a clerk, so under a judge. So I applied for it, gave my best effort. In about December, I received a rejection letter from it. Sorry, you know, you weren't selected, blah, 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 blah. I was really down about it, but okay. So from December to April, April is when school is over. I was applying for internships and applying for internships and applying for internships. I couldn't get anything for whatever reason. And during your second summer in law school, like, you should have some type of prestigious internship or clerkship, something that you're doing. And so school was over. I was in the midst of studying for finals, and I still didn't have anything for the summer. And I was really down about it. And so one day I went to church, and it was time to give an offering. And I was a law school student. I didn't have a job, right? Money was tight, all of that. It was time for offering, and the number 25 kept hitting in my head. 25, 25, 25. And I'm like, oh, $25? Oh no, I don't have $25, right? So I wasn't gonna give anything, right? And so I just kept hearing it. And I started getting hot, you know, like, I'm getting hot and I'm looking around and I'm like, who's watching me? But 25, 25. So I reached into my wallet, and I think I had a 20. And I was like really holding on to this 20. So I was like, fine, you know, I'll give the 20. So I started to give the 20 into the envelope. And I still didn't feel that peace. Like, it was just, I just felt like I was in a different world. I kept hearing 25, 25. So I said, you know what, God, let me just give this $25. Even though I don't have it right now, all I have was 20. And I wanted to hold on to, I need this for food, I need it for whatever. And so I kept hearing this 25. So I said, okay, let me just take out my checkbook. I had a checkbook on me at the time. So reluctantly, I started writing the 25. I said, you know what, let me just write this 25 so that this feeling can go away, because this is something crazy. I wrote the 25, gave it. The next day, I am in Starbucks studying for my exam, and I didn't have an internship. So I started applying for retail jobs online. So I'm literally filling out application to work at Express, like the clothing store Express. And then I get a phone call and they say, hello, is this Dana Thomas at the time? I'm like, yes, it is. They're like, well, this is so-and-so from the American Bar Association. You know, I know we sent to you a letter that you weren't accepted, but you know, that was an error. We'd like to offer you this clerkship and give you $6,000 for the summer to work under two judges in Las Vegas. And I'm like, what? It was the most amazing thing ever. And I really attribute that to just the faith that I had, because I felt like God was testing me if I would trust him, right? If I hear him, will I do what he's saying, right?
Yeah.
And at the time, I, even though I was in the beginning of my faith walk, I did it. And so that showed me, wow, look at the doors that can open that I would think that were closed. And that's just one of the stories, Vince. And so I went that summer to Las Vegas. It was the best summer that I've ever had in my life. I clerked under two judges. It was amazing, awards, all that good stuff. And I really attribute that to that faith.
Wow. So you know, that what we call simple obedience, mm-hmm. that opens your heart and actually gets your heart muscle in position to trust. And it's like what God does. He says, if I can't trust you in the little, how can I then entrust you with the much?
Absolutely. That is totally the lesson. You know, I have, and once you start doing what God is telling you to do, he'll tell you to do more. And believe me, everyone who's watching, the things that he tells you to do is not going to be comfortable and it's not going to be convenient at all. It will be very inconvenient and it'll be very uncomfortable. But those are the things. So I believe that he's kind of testing us or developing that relationship. It's like, well, will you do this when it's hard? You know, will you do that? Because how can I trust you with a successful business if you're not even listening now? You know, and so it came to the point where I was just always listening, you know, what can I do? And to the point where there was nothing that, you know, was too hard, because my dream meant so much to me. And I definitely saw the connection between doing what God has asked me to do and the favor that I want in my life.
So I want to ask, like, when was that moment where you took the step of faith? You're now in your business, but I believe that for those of us who started from scratch, there's this question of, is it going to make it? 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 But then there comes a point in time where you get to take this deep breath and say, okay, we're going to make it. Like, for you, what was, where or what time or what season of your business did that come?
Yes. So to be honest, right, I did not have a fear that it wasn't going to work. It was just a matter of when, right? And in the very first few months, I might make $2,000 that month, $1,500, $1,200, but you just got to keep going, right? To the point where those instructions don't only come for when it relates to other people in life. It came from my business too. So when people get ideas, when you guys get ideas, ideas are not just things that come in your head for no reason. They, to me, are instructions on what to do, right? So we can develop our ideas, but whenever I would get ideas about, you know, marketing or doing it this way or doing a video on this or doing whatever, once I started to listen and do those things, I would see the results. So I think that seeing the results, seeing that more people were paying attention and just knowing, there was something in me that was like, what's the worst that can happen? The worst that could happen for me is that the law firm doesn't work out. I would move to Florida, live with my grandmother, and she would cook me three meals a day. That is the worst. And I start over, right? That's the worst that could happen. And honestly, that isn't that bad, right?
So right.
Everyone doesn't have to know, but I think that we think about what's the worst that can happen. And for me, it was just, you know, I knew that I wasn't going to quit, right? And I knew that God wasn't going to give up on me. And that if I keep listening to what he's saying, even when it's hard, right? I didn't want to write my book, right? It was hard to write my book. It really was. Yeah. But, you know, waking up every day and writing it when there were other things that I wanted to do, when there'll be writer's block and I can't figure it out, you know, trying to stick to my deadlines. It wasn't something that was joyful to do, but it was something that he told me to do, you know? And so once you do those things and you reap the results of it, you see that, you know what, if I want this other thing, he's gonna tell me exactly how to do it. So just kind of seeing that pattern throughout my life, that's what really gave me the confidence, because with the little things, it created a pattern for the medium things, which created a pattern for the bigger things.
Wow. And it all started just from one act, and it just began to grow. I think that is the heart of stewardship, is that often we're looking for something spectacular that we miss the supernatural moments that God wants to produce for us in each second of every day. And in missing those moments of God's supernatural power, we're actually missing the answer to the prayers that we're looking to pray for.
And, you know, it's also a mindset shift, right? Because there have been months, like I mentioned before, where maybe I made $1,500 that month, right? For the whole month. But I feel like some people, they may say, oh my gosh, I only made $1,500. Maybe this isn't for me. I'm scared. What should I do? Maybe I should quit and maybe I should get a side job, right? So I can supplement this. But, you know, with a mindset shift, it's like, you know what? I made $1,500 on my own. If I can make $1,500, I can make $3,000. I can make $9,000, right? And you just kind of, again, shift it to your mindset from being a little pessimistic to just believe in God. If he told you to do this, if you're here, you know, then there will be a way. And that's not easy all the time, right? Admittedly, it's not easy all the time, but start with the little things, right? The things that are inconvenient. You have to go back and do this, or God has told me to give away my food before when I really didn't want to. Like, start with those little things, you know, that might not even be business related. And then once you start to see for those other things, you'll be able to trust it for the things that matter a bit more to you.
Wow. This is just so rich. Just know that this is not the only time that we're going to have you share some nuggets with us. It's like we could be mining for days here. But just kind of as we conclude today, are there any, phrases or thoughts, as you're talking about mindsets, you're talking about, you know, being grateful, being, you know, obedient to, you know, the plan of God, having faith, but are there general things that you encourage those who are taking that step of faith, or may have taken the step of faith, but, you know, in the moment it might seem like, you know, why am I out here? Are there things that you share as we close today with them that you could also share with us?
Absolutely. I would say that for whatever is on your heart, your purpose, your passion, God has already given you all the tools that you need, all the people that you need, all the resources that you need. There is nothing that is missing. You will not need a yes from someone else in order to do what you need to do, right? You will not. I truly believe that everything is at your fingertips, whether it's information online or a relationship that you already have, or just whatever's it's all within your capacity right now. So there's nothing that you're missing. You just have to build on top of it. So I would say you have everything that you need. He's giving you the people, he's giving you the resources, he's giving you the skills that you need right now to do the next right move, right? So don't think about the big, big goal. Think about, what do I need to do next? What is the next right move? And trust me, you have everything you need to do the next right move. So that's what I would say.
Thank you so much, Dana. And how can people get in touch with you? How can they find out more about the services that you provide, the resources that you have created? Like, how can people find out more about Dana?
Absolutely. So I'm pretty heavy on Instagram. So you can follow me on Instagram, Dana Thomas Law, at D-A-Y-N-A, Thomas, T-H-O-M-A-S, Law. Or my website, danathomaslaw.com, where I do provide trademark services. But on my social media, I share stories about my life, entrepreneurship, advice, quotes, all that good stuff. So happy to connect.
Thank you so much. And make sure you all take advantage of her resources. I happen to be a social media follower, and I will say that her posts are definitely something that add value to you. They give life to you. They help to really, you know, give you that mindset that you need to be successful in whatever you do. So, Dana, just on behalf of all of us who have been able to partake today, thank you for sharing of your time, your wisdom. And my prayer is that, you know, you haven't seen anything yet. God desires to just expand everything you set your hand to. And we just pray a continued blessing over you and your household.
Thank you so much, Vince. I received that. I appreciate that. And I look forward to staying connected.
Service was absolutely stupendous. And now we're going to delve into our announcements. So guess what? On July the 4th, we're going to start it off with worshiping God and seeing each other face to face, y'all. So please bring your lawn chairs, your blankets, leave your fireworks at home, and be prepared to worship God on July the 4th at King Middle School. Also, today starts e-group. So yes, we are going to see each other again, at least screen to screen, just to catch up since we've been away for a while. So please be prepared to log into e-groups after this service. I hope you all had an amazing day. I hope you all enjoyed service, and we look forward to seeing you all soon. Have a great day.